Time now to catch up with Jeff from A Cellar Wines. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all your listeners. I would hope that we've all adjusted now, Peter, to daylight saving.
I got a little trick about that. What I normally do is I do it the day before. So you've got a few hours at the daylight saving time, even though it isn't, and you go to bed. And then, of course, you wake up in the morning, and the morning is the morning, and the clocks are on time, and you beaut. And it works.
Well, yeah, Bob stayed here because we had a long weekend. We were quite busy. I spent Sunday at the Putty Country Fair, which
that would have been nice.
Yes, for those of you, your listeners that are not familiar, it's the most historical road north from Sydney, because prior to the Putty Road, which was built as a bullock train road back in the Dark Ages, prior to that road being built, all the lumber and wool and non-perishable produce, which is all they could ship from the Hunter Valley, went to Sydney by ship. Oh. And they built the Putty Road, which goes from Singleton, comes past us, down to Windsor. And halfway down, there's a little valley. There's no town there. There's only a community hall and quite a large valley, because it goes down through the mountains, basically. It goes along the ridges, almost. Well, actually, in the East Foothills, there's a little town called Putty, and they have a fair every year. We go down and support it. With our wine, and it's the most incredible thing, Peter. When I first saw it, we've been going for about 5 years now. We sponsor and support it. If you've never seen a post-cutting competition, you should mark your calendar next year and go to the Putty Fair. It's absolutely incredible how they have a competition. They had about 10 competitors this year. They have a log that's about 2.5 meters long and close to a meter in diameter, although the logs are a bit smaller this year. They only got one roll of logs per stump, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, say that quickly 10 times, yes.
Yeah. And they make, they have a competition. They turn this log, it's nearly a meter in diameter, 2.5 meters long, into like 15 fence posts in 20 minutes, 15 minutes. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I'd say.
Yeah, and if you've never seen it, I highly recommend that your listeners, anybody that's, any Central Coast or anywhere, you've got to access. There's no cross access to Putty. You've either got to access it down through, from the upper end here in the Hunter or from Windsor in the south. But it's really well worth the trip.
Sounds like you had a lot of fun.
We did. And we have a lot of members down there in the Putty Valley, and that's one of the reasons why we go down and support them.
Sure.
And, we supply the wine, and, so we have a great day. And we had a great day, Peter. I digressed a bit there. It was daylight saving, of course, on Sunday, and just about everybody got the time mixed up.
Oh, no.
Not that they follow the watches too closely down there. I think they rise with the sun and go to bed with it. But, it's not a great day to have an event, I don't think, on the day that the time changes.
They would have all arrived late.
Exactly. And anyway, we did have a great day, Peter, and we were quite busy here. Our accommodation was totally full, long weekend, nice weather. Mm-hmm. And although it was chilly again last night, Peter, we had 36 degrees, I think Monday. And last night, this morning when I got up, it was only 8 degrees. So it probably was even cooler than that last night. But the days have been very nice and sunny and warm.
Yeah, well, that morning made it be a case of wind in the willows, I think.
Yes. Well, it has been a bit windy the last day or two. It's calm now, but a bit of westerly wind. And the breeze was cool last night or yesterday afternoon, which is probably why it was cold last night. So, anyway, that's it, Peter. So been just looking over some things that we might discuss here. And a disturbing thing came out of San Francisco. They've discovered that they can tweak brain waves in, they've done it in rats and mice, can be done in humans, of course, as well. They can tweak brain waves at night, and they can either make the, in this case, the rats and mice, remember stuff they learned the day before better, or forget it. This is, you know, got some really bad connotations to it. You can imagine, you know, parents with problem children, you know, setting up the brainwave, you know, machine at night, and or those that want to enhance their children's learning. You know, if you tweak the brain, they can remember better what they learned at school.
Maybe they should tweak a few brains to develop courtesy to their fellow humans.
Yes, well, it's got worrying prospects, this, because, you know, parents are more competitive than children are. And, you know, parents, of course, want to get their children into the better schools and the better universities. And this technology allows children, would allow anybody, to remember better what they learned the day before by tweaking their brain waves. And so it is a bit of a concern. And I, you know, when I read it, I thought, gee, well, it's interesting, but hey, what about the future here?
Yeah, well, school would be abolished, and they could just tweak them into remembering everything.
Exactly. You know, we've all seen the picture where they, you know, subliminal, you know, repeated over and over while the person's asleep. But here, apparently, you don't have to do that. You just fire a ray at their brain.
I could just imagine that, could you?
I know. It's, you know, some of these are developments are a bit worrying, Peter.
So are the scientists.
True. There's another thing, actually, I think that we should bring to our listeners' attention as well, because they might want to consult their doctor about it, is that a new study, excuse me, just came out a couple of days ago that shows over half the people prescribed the blood cancer drug ibrutinib, I guess you would pronounce it, ibrutinib. Half the patients developed high blood pressure within 6 months of taking that drug. So I would say any of our listeners here, Peter, that are on that drug, it's spelled I-B-R-U-T-I-N-I-B, ibrutinib, I guess you would pronounce it, should consult their doctor, because that's a 50% chance of higher blood pressure.
So. Yeah, that's no good.
No, not at all. So that's the problem. You know, when you're fighting desperate diseases, it takes desperate measures, and often the rest of the body suffers.
That's true. And a thing I did notice too, they're now making a push to pull back antibiotics. A lot of people think, oh, I've got a cold, I'll take some antibiotics. It doesn't work. It's not for that.
No. Sometimes, if you get a secondary infection you've had a serious flu, you know, and you could develop pneumonia or something, then it works. Then it's applicable. But you're right. Bacteria doesn't work at all. So in any case, the best is, you know, to take a hot drink and go to bed.
Yep. Or get some more vitamin C from our good friend, Dr. J. And, I mean, you can't store vitamin C, so you need to take it to keep yourself healthy.
Well, that's right. And that's like most of the antioxidants. You've got to keep a store, because you can't, as you said, to keep your body healthy, but also to keep your stomach healthy.
Right.
You've got to have a good mix of antioxidants going into your stomach all the time, because antioxidants, as we've known before, are plants' immune system to fight off funguses and bacteria and all sorts of diseases, not probably a bacteria, but anyway, all types of mildews and other types of problems. But it also does a very good job in your stomach.
Yep.
And particularly if you've ingested a lot of mycotoxins, which you get when you eat pesticide sprayed foods,
And drink pesticide-sprayed wine.
Yeah, that's it. That's why we drink our organic wine, Peter. We're not taking those carcinogens, endocrine disruptors, and all that pesticide into your body, poison.
That's right.
But if you do, and of course wine is the highest mycotoxin food or beverage that the average adult ingests. That means you're taking a lot of mycotoxin poisons into your stomach, and they'll find antioxidants will fight those just the same as they do on the plant to fight off disease. They'll fight them off in your stomach, but you've got to have a healthy diet to do it. So
that's right. Well, I remember my grandma's saying, you know, healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, I got the healthy bit, but I'm still waiting on the wise wealthy, yeah.
Yeah, the wealthy bit's a long wait, Peter. The wise bit probably comes, just right at the end.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many times have you heard an older adult say, gee, I wish I had as much as I knowledge as I have now when I was 25. My life would have been totally different.
yeah, I suppose. But there again, mate, we've still got our health. We've still got great products like your products, of course, to enjoy. So why go elsewhere? You have all the nice healthy ones.
Well, that's right, Peter. And, we're going to sell some organic wine, Peter. We've got to let the people know, and it's not just organic wine, of course, and we have a very nice one, as you know, won lots of medals and accolades for our wines when we first launched them. The vineyard's 20 years old, but Cellar Organic Wine's only been around for about 11 years. So.
Oh, okay.
But we won all those medals and trophies, international medals, in the first few years. Don't chase medals too much anymore. It's it's costly and doesn't seem much point in doing it. But we're happy to have anybody come by and taste anytime, Peter. As we've said often, we're only an hour from Newcastle, maybe an hour and 15, 20 minutes down the coast, although still probably more than half our visitors to the cellar door from Sydney, maybe even higher rate. But we'd love to have people here. The silk tree is coming along beautifully. It's starting to have no blooms yet, but beautiful leaves. And happy to see people.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you've had some quite some visitors over the last few weeks. I was wondering where you're going to put them all, actually.
Yes, well, the outside area here, Peter's quite large. We can seat probably, 75, 100 people in the outside area there quite comfortably, because we've still got half a dozen marquees in the orchard that seat, six people to a marquee. We've got 40 fruit trees in there. They're growing quite well, the fruit trees, and of course they've been through blossom. Most of the fruit trees are trying to develop fruit at the moment, because they're fairly early. Any of the stone fruit type trees, of course, they need 500 hours of cold to grow properly, and we get it here. That the 500 hours is basically 500 hours below 5 degrees Celsius in a year, and then stone fruit grow very, very well. And so we have very good nectarines and peaches and apricots. And they bloom very early, Peter. You look out one day and the fruit trees are blooming. You think, gee, it's the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Anyway, that seems to be the way they do it.
But there again, that explains as to why wineries like yours are in the area that you're in, because you've got all the benefits to enable the vines and everything to grow properly and produce some lovely wine.
That's exactly right, Peter. And we've talked about this before. If you want to produce good wine, you have to be in an area where your vines go into hibernation, essentially, and they stop growing for a period of time. And that produces a better quality of grape. And we talked about it before. That's why hot countries like Mexico and southern Spain, and that you can produce wine, but the grapes never stop growing. So you have to prune sort of live grapes in, before spring, and pretend, that they've been through their dormancy, which they haven't. And so it's it's a very good climate for grapes, and that's why there are, you know, recognized grape growing areas in the world, because they have that perfect climate where they get a few frosts, they get lots of cold during the winter to stop the grapes from growing, and then of course they get hot and warm in summer to make the grapes grow really well. So and this area is one of those types of areas, you know, and you can tell that by the fact that we can grow stone fruits as well, Peter.
Oh, look, I think that's brilliant. What about how are you doing with the water? That's a very topical subject at the moment.
Well, it is. We had a couple, and it's been very, very dry. We had a couple of good rainfalls. There's another big one predicted this weekend, actually. We'll see whether the weatherman comes good. Incidentally, he came through on the last one. We were, you know, giving the weatherman a little bit of a razz here a couple of weeks ago, and the rain did come. He's predicting 20 to 40 mil again, Peter, this coming weekend. And we'll see whether the weatherman's right, but so he's done okay. I mean, we haven't had the, we're dry for sure, but we're nothing like the interior of New South Wales, Peter, particularly in the mid and higher areas, you know, it's terrible. And we've talked about it before. There's, you know, the long-term solution is totally out of our hands, everybody's hands.
That's right. So, well, I remember when I was still at school, governments were talking about piping the water to the inland, and from where I can work out, they're still talking. They haven't done anything.
Well, listen, when I was a whippersnapper, Peter, they were talking about using nuclear explosions to blow a channel to let the ocean into the central Australia.
Oh, that's a bit of a concept. Yeah, in the middle of an island, yeah. I'm sorry.
A good deal of the interior of Australia is below sea level, as we know. But what happens is that, you know, I mean, it sounds like a wonderful idea, but when you let a whole pile of salt water in that keeps evaporating, pretty soon the lake air isn't just, you know, like 50 kilometers across, Peter, it's 1,500 kilometers across.
And full of salt.
Full of salt, yeah. So, yeah, I don't think that was really a starter, that idea, but it is a problem. You know, this... we're a dry continent, and we're pulling the water out of the greater Australian Artesian bore, which covers the eastern half of Australia, at a tremendous rate.
That's right.
And the question is how long it can, you know, that underground reservoir can keep up the pressure. So I don't know.
Desalination plants, they should have them everywhere.
Yeah, it's...
what would I know?
They should... you know, it's, I don't know what the answer is, Peter. We talked about it before. We might have had the best period Australia's going to have for a long time in the last 100 years, you know, and the last 10 years might be typical of the next 100 years. I mean, might be typical of the last 1,000 years. We just haven't been around long enough. This is way beyond climate, although that's a contributing issue, you know, global warming. But, you know, who knows what the, you know, what the cycle really is. It's, we're just too young. You know, the records haven't been around long enough to really know whether we're suffering something that comes regularly or is more than normal. You know, it's terrible to think that. But, gee, you know, we have to deal with it as it is, Peter. We're actually planning, and we haven't announced it yet. We've got a development application. We're going to have a very large drought aid concert here at the Vineyard.
Oh, can we come too?
Yes, we'll talk about it a little bit, probably another week or two. We've just got the signal of the more or less the go-ahead from Singleton Council, with whom we've been fencing with for the last quite a long period of time. So,
sure.
But we'll announce it probably within the next couple of weeks. And, you know, it's a rather unique thing. And we're going to try and do a little bit to help people that are in a lot worse shape than we are, Peter.
Yeah, well, it'll be our pleasure if it doesn't clash with other events we already have in the pipeline. I'll talk to you about that.
Yeah.
We'd love to come out and promote that, and we'll run some ads for it as well.
Yeah. Okay, that's great, Peter. So www.acellawines.com.au, Peter. Mix and match down to a 9-pack, free delivery Australia-wide. So
Sounds good, excuse. Mate.
Yeah.
Put a link on your site to that concert, too, when you get it ready. And let us know what it is, and we can put it up as well.
We will, Peter. We're going to get a lot of support here, I think, for the initiative that we're going to do. And it's going to be a little bit different, the way we do it. And we'll announce it shortly, and then we can talk about it over a period of time. So.
Sounds good, mate. Sounds really good. Now, the address for people to get some of that beautiful wine.
Yes, well, it is beautiful. Us here at the Vineyard. It's 6574-5275. That's a New South Wales number. Happy to have, you know, people call us, send us an email, or just come by. We do get a lot of visitors stop by. I think people come from a long way away, do a lot of research before they come to the Hunter because they're not familiar with it.
Sure.
And so when they do the research, Peter, they often end up here, so we're happy. We get a lot of people from Queensland, you know, stop by and visit. And as we talked about before, we actually have a lot of members, friends of Acella, up in Rockhampton. So we're happy to, you know, have those. And they get free delivery from us, and they're quite happy when they get the extra discount. Friends of Acella get a... You know, our normal discount for Friends of a Cellar is a 15% off cellar door. But when we ship our packs out, Peter, we give 25% off plus free delivery.
Oh, gee, you can't knock that back.
No. Well, if you live in, you know, Darwin or Rockhampton, it's a pretty good deal because the freight, because we send out a lot and we have a contract, you know, we pay a lot less for freight than they would pay if they bought some wine and had it shipped to Rockhampton or somewhere else.
They would
pay probably twice what it costs us to ship it. So it's cheap. I think the most expensive we talked about, you know, we're shipping to Darwin. It costs about over $70 to ship a case of wine to Darwin. But we absorb that because we think everybody in Australia should have access to our very fine organic wine.
Don't blame them, mate. Lovely to catch up with you.
Yes, you too, Peter, and we'll catch up next week.
Sure will. Jeff from Acella Wine. That's acellawines.com.au. Don't sit there. Do something about it.